Amen. Amen. Give somebody a high five and say, let's get the word. Amen. 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 You may be seated in the house of the Lord. So good to be back in the pulpit. I want to say hi. Want to say great job to Jonathan last week, who delivered an amazing message. It was his first sermon. He did a phenomenal job talking to us about being intentional. I've been able to pray, and I want to tell you to get away and just pray for this church, pray about this church. We've got some great things coming up in store for you. I've actually been able to sit with the Lord, and God's given us some amazing sermon series that are going to be coming up this year. I think you are going to be so extremely blessed. As a matter of fact, next Sunday, what we're going to be talking about is a back-to-school success kit for your kids. So the first Sunday, our kids are in church. We're going to talk to them about what do they need to do to be successful this year in school. Somebody say amen. Amen. You might be like, well, I don't have any kids. Trust me, it's going to apply to you too. It's going to be how can you be successful on your job, in your life, everywhere. We're going to do back-to-school success kit for kids next week. And then the following week, it's going to be a back-to-school success kit for parents. So we're going to be talking to the kids next week and the following week parents. And then the third Sunday of September is going to be a special Sunday. It is National Back to Church Sunday. So some of y'all are like, what does that mean? That means it's the day where we want to encourage people to go back to school. We want to encourage them to come back to church. So it's going to be the day where you can start inviting your friends and family to come back to church. And you say, well, they've never been to church. Well, just tell them to come for the first time. Just come on to church. But we'll have flyers for you for that next week. But we want to encourage you to invite your friends and family for National Back to Church Sunday, which is September 16th. Wednesday night Bible study's happening, and it is phenomenal. I am floored. It was so phenomenal that when I started thinking about, you know, what I was going to preach about today, I said, I got to kind of touch a little bit on what we talked about on Wednesday night. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. We're going to be reading verses 11 through 13. And this morning, you know, I have been doing some work in the business community, which I absolutely love, having a chance to coach and influence vice presidents, CFOs, all these amazing people in the world that are influencing organizations and this city and this culture. And I thought, there's a business opportunity available right here for our church. And if I don't tell our church about the business opportunity, I'm doing you guys a disservice. So today, the title of my message is there's a great business opportunity. Somebody say, I'm ready. How many of y'all want a great business opportunity? Now, if you know me, just hang in there. Some of y'all are like, oh, I'm about to lead this church. Just stay. Listen to the message. All right. Luke chapter 19, verse 11 through 13. Would you do me a favor, as is our custom? Would you stand out of reverence for the word of God? We're going to be reading just these three short verses. I'll be reading from the New King James Version, but if you have a different version, no worries, the words will appear on your screen. But before we read that, would you do me a favor? Stick your finger in your Bible, hold your Bible or your electronic devices high in the air, and let's say our Bible affirmation together. Ready? This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. All right. Luke chapter 19, verse 11 through 13. Let's read together. Now as they heard these things, he spoke another parable, because he was near Jerusalem and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Therefore, he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. Somebody let's just read that last sentence again. Do business till I come. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this word today. I pray in the name of Jesus that you will help us to hear the great business opportunity you have for us, and that, Lord, you will help each and every one of us respond to the opportunity that's placed before us. Father, I declare that we're going to be a church that does business till you come back. In Jesus' mighty name, somebody say amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you ready to do business? All right, you may be seated in the house of the Lord. I was watching ESPN one day, and Shaq was on. And Shaq was talking about, those of you who know Shaq, he's a former NBA player. And he was talking about how he had met with the owner of Starbucks, Harold Schultz, years ago. And Harold Schultz talked to him and said, hey, you know what? I think you should invest in Starbucks. He says, as a matter of fact, I'm trying to take Starbucks into communities of color so that we can reach a greater audience. And Shaq said, man, I ain't never seen no black people drink coffee. I don't think that's a good investment. So Shaq decided not to invest in Starbucks. And he said in this TV show, he said it was one of the greatest missed opportunities he ever had. He said, because I couldn't see beyond my own self and my own experiences. So I want to tell you today that God has a great business opportunity for you. But you're going to have to see beyond your own self, your own day-to-day issues, your own life, and realize that it's something so much greater with a greater return than you'll ever imagine back. Somebody say amen. Are you interested? I believe that the Bible is full of business principles. Matter of fact, what's funny is the principles that are working in business come straight from the Bible. And people want to take them and say, no, I made this up. No, you got that from Jesus. Now, it's interesting that when Jesus began to preach, he preached his very first message, and his first message was repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And they were like, well, what does this mean? What are you talking about? What's going on? And Jesus was like, look, the kingdom is here because the king is here. When Jesus showed up, the king showed up, and he's saying the kingdom is here. And kingdom means that the rule and reign of God is operating everywhere in such a way that it's infiltrating the culture so that the culture is becoming like God. So he said, look, I'm showing up, and everywhere we go is about to become like where I'm, who I am. That's the kingdom. So you're like, well, how does she make that shift so quickly? The reason is because when you start thinking about what Jesus came to do, Jesus tells this parable to help them connect what his most important message is. By the way, the Bible talks about the kingdom 410 times. You think that's an important topic? He talks about the kingdom 410 times. And Jesus would often use parables to illustrate or to help people understand biblical or godly principles. So he begins to start to tell this parable. And that's where we have our verse for today. In Luke 19, he tells this parable, which is just a story to help people understand biblical things. He says, now as they heard these things, he spoke another parable, because he was near Jerusalem and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. So what is this passage about? It's about the kingdom. I want you to catch this. So he says, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come back. So he says, this parable's about the kingdom, but the owner tells them, the nobleman says, go do some business till I get back. Jesus preached about the kingdom, but he wanted to tell us to go do some business till he came back. This is not isolated. Let me see if I can help you. The word business in the King James Version is translated to mean occupy. Occupy. So occupy till I come. Now in the Greek, it's the word pragmateumo. Now don't try to spell it. Look it up later if you want. It's like 12-letter words. I ain't even going to give you the letters. Jesus is saying, look, I want you to take over. I want you to occupy until I come back. I want you, the word in the Greek means to be occupied in anything, to do business, to do merchandise, or to enter into trading. What is the business opportunity that Jesus was giving us? To join him in his kingdom building work. Some of y'all are like, that ain't what I thought it was. Thought she was going to tell me how to make some money. I didn't say that joining Jesus in his kingdom building work meant you was going to have to be poor. Somebody need to praise the Lord right there. Doing the work of the kingdom doesn't mean you got to be in poverty to do the work of the kingdom. doing the work of the kingdom, I'm going to describe to you what that business is, what the business opportunity is, and I'm going to tell you something. I have been blessed to be able to see people who are doing kingdom business and are multimillionaires in this world right now. And I'm going to prove to you that God doesn't desire you to be poor while you do kingdom business. But I want you to understand what kingdom business is, because if you get twisted, you'll think kingdom business is about what you get back. Kingdom business ain't really got nothing to do about you. Kingdom business has to do with God's kingdom, his reign, his rule entering into the earth. And if you will be about his kingdom business, Matthew 6:33 says he'll be about your business. He'll take care of you. But the problem with most of us is we've been so worried about our business, we forgot about the kingdom business. And since we forgot about the kingdom business, we've been trying to do what God said I will do for you, which is if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all this other stuff will be added back unto you. But we're trying to get all the other stuff and forgetting about the greatest business opportunity we ever had, which is to advance the kingdom of God. See, I know y'all was like, oh, she about to talk about a multi-level marketing scheme. Yes, it is a multi-level marketing scheme. If you surrender to Jesus, he will increase you. Your network will increase. Those people will share with other people. Come on, y'all missing it. It is the greatest multi-level marketing scheme that ever existed is the kingdom of God. And it yields returns far greater than a pink Cadillac. Y'all already know which company that is, don't you? It yields returns far greater than trips to Italy. It yields eternal rewards that lasts forever. Do business, occupy. Do the business or merchandise or enter into trading until I come back. Enter into trading, I thought. What do you mean enter into trading? What are we trading? All business is based on a system of trading or exchanges. It's an exchanging of goods or services for something else. Typically, we exchange monetarily things for a service or good for something else. You get your hair done, they do the service, you exchange the money. You don't, you end up on World Star fighting. Have y'all seen those World Star videos with people who got their nails done and didn't pay? Them people are ruthless. I'd be like, up front, you want my money up front? Don't be coming after me on the backside. Look. But Jesus says, occupy, do business, enter into trading till I come back. In the English Standard Version, the word is translated, occupy is translated, engage in business. In the NLT, it's translated, invest this till I come back. And in the NIV, it's translated, put to work till I come back. All giving the idea that there is something that we must actively be a part of doing on a regular basis as if it was a job for us. Doing business for the kingdom is supposed to be like you going to work every day. You go to work every day with a purpose. You go to work every day with a plan. You go to work every day to accomplish something. And God is like, you're supposed to live for the kingdom just like that. Are we waking up every day saying, I got a goal in the kingdom to get to? We're waking up every day saying, I got to work 8 hours for the kingdom. We work, I was about to say for the man, we work for the other people. Think about this. We may work 8 to 10 hours a day on our jobs. We might come home and work 2 to 3 hours in our homes, cooking, cleaning, washing clothes, all those things. We may get lucky and work an hour for ourselves and actually go work out if we get lucky. When do we work for God? When are we actively saying, I'm about his business? I'm about doing what he told me to do. Now, the funny part is you can do it all day. You can be at work and still be about his business. You can be at school and still be about his business. The good part is he's the best side hustle ever. Because you can do his side hustle while you're doing your main job. Y'all ain't hear me. See, look, I told somebody that, I was talking to one of my friends who was a pastor this week, and I told him, I said, I am not the most relational person in the world. He was like, really? I said, no, because I always think numbers, money, and process, and I always think, because I come from an engineering scientific background, so I'm always thinking data-driven. So when I start thinking about doing business for the kingdom, most people are sitting back and they're saying, oh, okay, that's an ethereal thing. It's really cool. It's easy. But for me, I'm thinking of the numbers. I'm thinking of how much time you want. I'm thinking about how much I got to give of myself. I'm thinking about what's really going to come back to the church. I'm thinking scientifically about what this looks like. So you have to forgive me because I see doing business for the kingdom like I see working a job. I can't see it in this nice, fluffy environment because my mind don't think that way. Y'all get it? Okay. And by the way, I'm very nice. And God has grown me. If anybody's been, it's been almost 10 years since I've been pastoring this church. And what's funny is I'm so much nicer now. Whoever been here for 10 years just said amen real loud. I heard you. We must recognize that we as believers are a part of God's business organization. You want to know the title of his business? Do y'all remember the TV show Sanford and Son? You know what the title of God's business is? God and Sons. God and Sons. It's all about, and daughters, I mean, we get to fall in that too, but it's all about the fact that we have entered into a partnership with God. We're working with God. The Lord is functioning to do his work through the body of Christ. The body is a corporation. Come on, somebody. The corporation means in the Latin corpus, which means body or group. Come on, watch this. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:27, now you are the body of Christ. You are the corporation of Christ and the members individually. So whether you like it or not, you've already been recruited when you gave your life to Jesus into this new corporation. Now the question is, are you doing your job or not? Are we doing our job? We are his ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors representing this king here on the earth. We operate out of another kingdom with another power source, with another authority that is not of this world. Yet our feet are planted right here on this planet under the authority, under the kingdom of darkness. And that is our challenge. That's why this is hard. Look, I'm not going to sit here and fuss at y'all and act like serving God and doing kingdom business is not hard work. There are visions that you have that God is trying to get into earth because that is a kingdom thing that God is trying to do. And you know what the enemy is doing? Saying, no, we're not going to let that happen, boo. That's why you're experiencing pushback. That's why people have been telling you no. That's why you've been feeling like you're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You can't do this. You're not capable. It's too big, God. God is like, duh, it's supposed to be big because it's my business, not yours. You ever think about God being in business? He's not going to do no little work. God is a big God. His business is a big business. So if you're scared to do the work of this business opportunity, you're in the right place. Because it's big. We are ambassadors for Christ. The kingdom of God is here. So you might say, well, what's my job description? Nope. Y'all don't ask these kinds of questions. When you get ready to go get a job, don't you want to know, well, what you want me to do? We don't go in those hood terms and say, well, what you want me to do? We go and we say, what is my job description? Jesus gave us his job description, which translates into our job description in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 through 19. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. My job description is that I have been anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. My job description is I have been sent to heal the brokenhearted. My job description is that I've come to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. And my job description is I'm supposed to set at liberty those who are oppressed and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord's favor. I got a job description. You know, want to know what the kingdom business is? It's summed up right there. We are to preach the gospel. And I love that it says preach the gospel to the poor. Because most people think when we say preach the gospel, we're just supposed to tell people Jesus died. We're supposed to have a sign, John 3:16. You know those guys at the football games? with the sign that just stand there, you're going to burn if you don't come to Jesus. That's not what he's saying. Preaching the gospel to the poor means this. Do you not know that people who were financially struggling, the Bible talks about when they came and they heard the word that God had for them, they got free. Oh, Pastor, I ain't never seen that. I ain't got time to show you because that was kind of a tangent. But I guarantee you it's in there. If you come talk to me afterwards, I'll tell you where it is. Preaching the gospel to the poor means you have no hope. You don't know how you're going to make it. You don't know how you're going to come out of this. But the gospel is the word of God that says, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory. My God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He says all the silver, all the gold is mine. He says, there is no lack for you in the kingdom of God. Open wide your mouth and I'll fill it for you. I'm telling you, when you start thinking like that, you start saying, well, all I got to do is open my mouth and speak and ask. Then God, you start pointing. Wait a second. Poverty begins to come out of my mind because poverty is a mindset. It's not a state. I'm going a little bit deeper than I normally go on Sunday mornings because I believe God is saying, come on, people. It's some folks out there who have poverty mindsets that need to know that I'm way bigger, that need to know that I got them, that need to know I'm going to take care of them. And guess what? I put them in your path so that you would expand my business and do my work here on earth so they'll know that there's something bigger than this. I was sent to heal the brokenhearted. You ever been at work and somebody come up to you and they start telling you all their problems? And you're sitting there like, for real? I mean, I thought this was work. I mean, come on, God, I got something to do. And God is like, no, kingdom business. When they start telling you all their problems, don't forget your job description. To heal the brokenhearted. To proclaim liberty to the captives. When they tell you they don't know how they're going to make it, to recover sight for the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Now, if you see it in the Bible, you'll say, well, I ain't never seen that. I'm going to show it to you. Peter and John were traders and ambassadors on the kingdom's business exchange program. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John were minding their business, and they were going up to the church to pray. And the Bible says a man who couldn't walk since he was born, was carried to them, laid at the gate of the temple, and he was sitting there begging all day, every day, trying to say, you know, help me out because I can't work. And Peter and John, watch this, they knew they were going to church. That was the only way to church. But they said, I got a business opportunity right in front of me. And here's what they said. They looked at him, and watch this. Peter looked at him, and he said in verse 5, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive, come on, the exchange, money back. And Peter said, look, I ain't got no money. Silver and gold, I do not have. But let me tell you what I got. What I do have, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Peter and John said, I know my job description. I understand that the exchange is not financial. What I have is the Spirit of God on my life, the power of God, and the understanding that the blood of Jesus is here to bring deliverance, healing, and to set you free. So I'm going to exchange for you. I'm going to create a business transaction and say, get up and walk. And guess what? The Bible didn't just say he slowly got up. The Bible says he immediately got up, leaped up in the air, and all of a sudden, somebody who ain't walked since they were born, atrophy has set in. But come on, when the great exchange happens, he started leaping and praising God. That was a business opportunity at the gate of the church. How many business opportunities did we walk away from? Now, if I was telling you, if you told that man at the gate about your product and he bought it, you'd get an increase. You wouldn't have tripped that he was there lame and wild. You'd have been like, hey, I got this product I want to sell to you. You'd have been like Chris Rock in some of the movies. I got, look, I got $5. what you want to get for it. Look, you'd have been, well, can you just put it in my hand? You'd have been working it. Some of y'all are some hustlers, baby. Y'all will get out there and push makeup, purses, jackets. You'll push, come on, Mary Kay's makeup. What else you pushing? Oh, you'll push Tupperware, Amway products. But God is like, I got the greatest gift, the greatest product, which is freedom, healing, deliverance, found in the blood of Jesus Christ, and we won't go push it. I think God has a special place in his heart for drug dealers. Because he said the drug dealers know. They know how to sell. And they sell well. If I can just get them to stop pushing the drugs and pushing Jesus. That's why, and when I come into the church, I'm always surprised that the people who used to be drug dealers are, come on, some of the best evangelists you ever want to meet. They'd be like, hey, you got Jesus? Our currency. What is our currency? Our currency is our faith. What is the money we have to exchange? We get to exchange our faith for their faithlessness. There are people who don't have faith, but we have faith for them. And we get to make an exchange. Now, I want you to know that your currency of faith is backed by the name of Jesus. Peter said in Acts 3:6, in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. Faith that works through Jesus' name is mighty and will overrule the work of darkness in anybody's life. You got currency that is backed by the greatest name that ever lived. Because the Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Our currency is backed by gold. Now, if you stick around long enough, I don't know how much of our paper is really backed by gold and how much they're telling us it's backed by gold and just being printed. Which is, watch this, the reason why the value of our dollar keeps changing. Because it's not backed by something that's faithful and true. So what a dollar was today, come on somebody, you remember when you was a kid and you had a dollar? And your mama said, take this dollar and go to the, see, some of y'all too young, y'all don't know. But we used to have penny candy, where the candy was really a penny. And so if you had a dollar, that represented 100 pieces of candy. I learned math real fast because I started calculating how much candy can I get with my dollar. And I remember being in Alabama in the summers and my grandmother would say, we would have a little corner store. Now that I've gotten older, I thought it was really a corner store. But when I got older and I went back, it was just the lady's house and her garage. Yeah, y'all don't know. That's a whole nother history lesson. But so I thought I was big time going to the candy store on the corner at my grandma's house. My grandma gave each of the kids a dollar. We was balling. And we went in and they used to have these graham cracker butterfly cookies with pink stuff, icing. Don't nobody know what that is? Come on, Jesus. Them was the best. Those were 30 cents. So I had to ration my cookies. You take a dollar and give it to your child now. The tooth fairy don't even leave a dollar. Your kid gonna be like, what am I gonna do with this? Snickers is $1.20. I can't buy no piece of candy with a dollar. You ever go to the vending machines? It's a dollar plus to get anything out the vending machines. See, the currency has changed because the economy has changed. And so the value of our currency is different. But we in the kingdom business of God have a currency that never changes. It is backed by Jesus, and the Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So what you got in your faith doesn't change just because the circumstance is different, just because it looks like it's harder, just because it's 2018 versus being 1972. The word of God is still powerful. As a matter of fact, the Bible says his word is settled forever. His name is so powerful that it backs the faith. faith that you use when you begin to speak to somebody else. So when Peter and John began to speak, they spoke a word and they said, in Jesus' name. Which means I believe, but I'm backing this by the faith. Come on, somebody. Stop acting like you backing your words and start speaking like Jesus is backing the words that are coming out of your mouth. The word of God. We so scared to say something because we scared of what they might think of mine. And what if it don't work? What if I pray for healing and they don't get healed? It ain't about you. You don't pray at the end of that prayer in Shana's name. You pray in Jesus' name, which means the healing and the deliverance is up to you, God. It's on your power, not my power. I'm doing what you told me to do. You told me that the Spirit of the Lord is on me and you've anointed me so that I can preach the gospel to the poor. I can heal the brokenhearted. I can set the captive free. I'm just doing my job. How many of y'all go to work and do a job that you don't understand every day? Let me rephrase that. You don't know why you got to do what they're asking you to do. Some of y'all go to school and you like, why they keep making me write so much? Why they keep making me do all this homework? Why? But you do it anyway. Why all of a sudden you get in kingdom business and you don't understand and you be sitting there like, I ain't gonna do that because I don't know what that means. Come on. We do stuff in the world naturally. But then we get to God and we get real smart on him. No, God, that ain't gonna work. Anybody ask you if that was gonna work? I didn't come to you and say, excuse me, can I get your input on whether praying for someone's really gonna bring healing or not? Or, no, I just told you to go do it. Kingdom business. It's not only backed by the name of Jesus, but it's also backed by the blood of Jesus. He exchanged his life for ours. He exchanged his life for our sickness. He exchanged his life for our sin. He exchanged his life for our selfishness. He exchanged his life for your marriage. He exchanged his life for your children. So if he gave his life for it, why are you sitting here talking about it ain't gonna work? He exchanged all of that just so that we could come and be whole and healed and delivered and set free. Colossians 1:13 says, he has delivered us from the power of the darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom. Which means he took you out of hell and brought you into a relationship with him. So that you can start ruling and reigning and spreading his love, his word, his business all over the earth. So what's our business opportunity? Our business opportunity is that we have the opportunity to share and exchange his life for other lives. His health for their sickness. His love for their hate. Jesus has already accepted, healed, forgiven, cleansed them, and he wants to now accept them and bring them in. But somebody's got to tell them. Now, why would Jesus do this? Why would God give us this business? Why would God leave a business for us? You know, Sanford and Son, I talked about it earlier. That was a good show. Fran Sanford didn't have much. Some of y'all young folks don't know what that show is, do you? Okay, so Sanford and Son is a show of an older man who didn't have a lot, but he owned a junkyard. And he had one son. His name was Lamont. And he called the business Sanford and Son because everything, he would call it his empire. Y'all remember he used to call it his empire? He would say, and it was a junky house. It was like Hoarders before Hoarders became a thing. And he says, all this I'm basically giving to you. And Fred Sanford, his wife, Elizabeth, had passed. And anytime his son did something he didn't like, he would start faking a heart attack. Elizabeth, I'm coming to join you, honey. Fake a heart attack. But I thought about it. And as crazy as Fred Sanford was and as hard as he was on his son, he wanted to leave his son a legacy. He wanted to leave. He gave him what he had. He says, here's what I got, and I'm bestowing it on you. God is a good father. And Father God says, what I have is the kingdom, my rule, my reign. My words, life, what I have is the kingdom. And what I want to give you is what I got. I want to give you a kingdom too. Some of y'all are like, I don't believe that. I didn't have this on the scripture, but go to Genesis. Oh, yes, it is. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. I'm going to show you this. I'm going to prove to you that God wanted to leave you an inheritance, and your inheritance is his kingdom. Your inheritance is this family business. Watch this. 26 for me, please, Crystal. Watch this. Bible says that God made man in his image. The image of God, he created man, right? And this is beginning in Genesis 1. He says, then let us, being God the Father, Jesus the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, let us make man in our image. He's saying, look, I want to create. How many of y'all want to have kids that look like you? If you don't want kids that look like you, we need to talk about self-esteem. Okay, how many of you want kids that are like you? Some of y'all scared to say that because you don't want the bad parts of you to be in your kids. God is a father who wants his kids to look like him and wants his kids to be like him and act like him. So he created man according to his image and his likeness, and he didn't just say, don't just look like me, don't just act like me, but here's the family business. The family business is, I'm going to create you, and I want you to have dominion or domain over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, all the earth, and every creeping thing. What is domain? Think about what is kingdom. It is the king's domain. It is the king's area. So he's saying, I'm going to create you, and I'm going to give you a dominion. I'm going to give you a domain, and I want you to have rulership over it. Come on, somebody. I want you to be the HN. You know what I'm saying. I want you to be the boss. I can't say HNIC. Some of y'all don't know what that is. This is a multicultural church. I can't say what it means. He wants you to be the boss. I saw your face. I changed it. I fixed it. I promise. I'm still a work in progress. I ain't all like Jesus yet. He said, I want you to be the boss. I want you to rule some stuff. Now, I want you to notice he didn't say people. He said things. Because some of y'all are trying to rule people. Stop. Some of y'all are looking at somebody that you want to marry and you trying to rule them to try to get them to be like you want them to be. That's not the rulership he's talking about. That's being bossy and the other B. Moving on. Watch this. Am I on one today? I'm working. I'm trying to get better. Father Jesus, come into my heart and cleanse my mouth and my mind. Let's go. Watch this. The funny thing is you can still be you and still be about kingdom business. Come on. Let me give it to you. He says, I want you to be about my business. But if you think that was enough, if it was just be about, like Sanford and Son, keep my business the way it is. Just keep this little house with all the little hoarding stuff in it and just keep cycling that. If you think that was his goal, you're missing it. If it was just about you keep your house together, you keep your family together, that is your kingdom, just do you, then you would miss it. Because if you don't see the rest of it, you're going to struggle with why he is a multi-level marketing kind of a God. Verse 28. Verse 28 says, then God blesses them, which means he's giving you his favor. He's giving you his anointing. He's giving you what you need for what he's about to do or what he's about to say. He blesses them and he says, be fruitful. Fruitful means to come out of your loin, add to. Multiply means to multiply many times over. Fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion. So he says, look, I don't just want you to be in the family business and keep it like this. I want you to multiply, increase, grow the family business. I want the family business, the kingdom business, to get way bigger than what you have right now. If you really pay attention to it, when he made man, he just stuck him in Eden. And it, now some of y'all are like, well, that was the whole earth. God didn't give him the whole earth. He started with Eden. And he was telling them, be fruitful and multiply and start expanding out from Eden. Then they messed that up. And when they messed it up, they got kicked out of it. And God, watch this. God put an angel to cover that little area, which meant it wasn't so big. Come on, somebody. It wasn't the whole earth because they got kicked out of it. Y'all not hearing me. God's idea was, I'm going to give you a little bit to rule now. And then, as you grow and understand your business skills, as you grow in the Lord, as you grow and understand the authority, as you grow and understand the word, as you grow and understand the anointing that's on you, as you grow and you begin to practice the prophetic and practice healing, and as you grow and you come on, y'all not catching this, and you begin to grow, you're maturing in the word. As you mature, your kingdom ought to be getting bigger. We ought to be moving from just me and mine to saying, how can I take this anointing that he's given me so that somebody else can come to know Jesus Christ? I'm at school. I'm at work. How do I take the anointing on my life so that the people, look, my whole school, my whole company, my whole community ought to be different. Why? Because when I showed up, the King of God, the King in me showed up. And his rulership and his reign must extend and must get bigger. No, Pastor, that ain't what he's saying. Well, Matthew 28 says, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. God and sons. Well, I still don't believe it. Guess what? That's what this whole parable is about. Let's go back to Luke chapter 19, verse 11, because I'm going to show you he's all about multiplication and expansion. And some of y'all are like, this doesn't apply to me. I didn't really want to be a business owner anyway. What does this have to do with me, Pastor? I'm about to show you. For those of you who don't think this has anything to do with you, it has eternal ramifications for you. Watch this. Here's that parable. He says, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. He called 10 of his servants, gave to each of them 10 minas. Now, a mina was equivalent to about a month's salary. And he said, do business till I come back. What do you think he's saying? Take my money and make me some more. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. If I'm a king and I'm about to give you some money, I ain't just giving it to you because I like you. I want you, and I say do business, I want more money back. Anybody entering business, don't enter into it to increase, then you're going to have a really short business cycle. I want you to do business till I come back. And verse 14, but his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him. We will not have this man to reign over us. Now, what that is those are the people who don't want Jesus to be Lord of their lives. They're like, we don't want him over us. So it was that when he returned, this means when Jesus comes back at the second coming. So I want you to put this in this mindset. Jesus is like, about to go to heaven, do business till I come back. I'm giving you gifts, talents, and the Holy Spirit. That means whatever gift is inside of you, use it to do business. Y'all, oh, this is about to be freeing for somebody. If your gift is sports, use it to share the kingdom of God. If your gift is business and teaching people how to do leadership and do that and tell people about Jesus and expand my kingdom. If your gift is singing, do that and expand my kingdom. If your gift is playing an instrument, whatever your gift is, teaching, preaching, sweeping the floor, do it. But do business for me till I come back. Let my anointing come on you. Right where your gifts and talents lie. So that people will see Jesus in you. Watch this. So when I come back, the Bible says, verse 15, and so it was, when he returns, he comes back, having received the kingdom, he then commanded those servants to whom he had given the money, the currency to make exchanges, the seed of God's word, salvation, the blood. He said, all of y'all who freely receive, now go freely give. Those of you who got that, it's time to come and give an account. Where are we at? To be called to him that he might know how much every man had gained. Somebody say gained. Do you think he was looking for a return on his investment? See, you think you're doing this for you. God is like, the gifts I gave you are about getting a return back. Do you not know if you operate in excellence doing what you do, people will be drawn to you and say, how do you do that? And then you get to be more open to tell them about Jesus. The reason I do this is because I have an MBA and because I'm smart and because Jesus is like, that ain't the reason you do it. Tell him. The reason I do this is because I serve a God who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that I could ask, think, or imagine. It was never me. It was always him. I didn't understand it. I don't know how he did it all. I can tell you it was God. And what he did for me, he wants to do for you too. That's what he wants. So he comes back and he says, now I want to know how much have you gained. How has the kingdom of God increased because you lived on this earth? God expects there to be an increase on what he has deposited, the Holy Spirit, inside of you. Verse 16. Then came the first one saying, Master, your mina, your money, your gifts, that one you gave me, I got 10 back. He one of them ones that you'd be like, for real? How you doing that in business? I want to know. And you know what he said? The master said, well done, good servant, because you were faithful with just that one little thing. I'm going to entrust you with much and give you authority over 10 cities. The second came, says, master, your mina, I got to close. Serve me, earn me 5 minas. Likewise, he says, you get over 5 cities. Great job. Now, those of y'all who was like, this ain't for me. Then came the last one. Here's that one mina you gave me back. I put it in a handkerchief just for you. Because I knew you was a hard man. I knew you collected what you didn't deposit and reap what you didn't sow. That means I know you wanted your mina back. So I'm giving you exactly what you gave me. I'm not going to tell nobody about you. I'm not going to serve. I'm not going to, look, come on, somebody. I'm going to keep doing things my way. I like it. We good. I ain't going to bless nobody. I ain't going to invest in nobody. I ain't going to build no relationships with nobody. I'm just going to do me. Y'all don't like it. All y'all who want to do me, check this out. He said, look, out of your own mouth, you said, I'm going to judge you. And you said, wicked servant, that I was an austere man collecting what I didn't deposit. That means you knew I wanted more back. Why didn't you put my money in the bank? So that at least I could have got something off of it, a little bit off of it. And he said to those who served him, take that one from the one who didn't increase and give it to the one who has 10. Some of y'all got problems with that. Why you got to give it to the one who got 10? Couldn't give it to the one who had 5 or another one who had 2? No, the one who got 10 know how to make that 10 turn into more 10s. Why would I give it to the one who only produced 5? God invests more resources in people who increase the resources he's already given you. So if you want to understand Matthew 6:33, which is if you will seek first my kingdom and my righteousness and all these other things will come back to you, you'll have to understand. If you will take what God has given you, invest it in sharing the kingdom and the gospel of Jesus Christ and helping other people and growing other people, then God is going to say, I got to give you more, because if I give you more, you're going to keep investing, which means I'm going to get a bigger return with you than the person who's sitting up there not doing nothing. So if you're here and you don't want to do nothing for Jesus, stay where you are, because in the end he's going to say you wicked and lazy servant. But if you are here and you're like, God, I want more.
then get ready to do more for God. Come on and stand to your feet. I'm done, and give him some praise. Everyone who has will be given. And for him who does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. Those who are entrusted with little and do more, God says, I'll give you more. You want the best business opportunity there is? Serve the kingdom of God. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do, because we're out of time. I actually went a little longer than I wanted to. If you're here today and you're saying, you know what? I've been tripping. There's some kingdom opportunities, business opportunities to exchange the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus, the power of Jesus for healing, deliverances, and breakthroughs, not just in my life, not just in my family, but in those around me. I've been tripping. I've been hiding that 1 minute in the bank. I've been hiding it in under a bushel, putting it in a handkerchief. I'm not increasing that. If you're here and you're saying, God, I'm ready to increase it, I want you to lift your hands right where you are. Lift your hands all over the building. Lift your hands. I want to pray for you. The first word I have for those with their hands lifted is increase. Father, speak to us and show us, Father God, how to increase the gifts, the talents, the word, the spirit that is on us. I declare that each of us has, if we've given our life to Jesus, which I believe we have, I declare that the Spirit of the Lord is on you and he's anointed you to preach the gospel to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to release the captives, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and to speak sight to the blind. I declare over you that you have what you need to do the work already. And I release in you a vision, the next step. I pray in Jesus' name that you would speak, Lord. Show us what you want us to do. And God, even if we don't hear from you, let's take a chance and just try it. And just try. At least we're doing something for you, Father God. Thank you, Lord, that we are a people who are about your business. Come on, I want you to say this. Jesus, I have decided that I'm going to do business till you come back. I'm going to increase your kingdom. Now fill me. And I hear the Lord saying this. John 15 tells us that if we're doing the work of Jesus, if you remain in me and my words remain in me, you ask whatever you wish. And I'll give it to you. God's saying, if you just take the small steps to do what I'm telling you to do, go ahead and ask me for what you need. I got to give it to you because I know you're expanding my kingdom. So say this, Lord, thank you that whatever I need, you're already releasing. In Jesus' name. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you. May the Spirit of the living God rest, rule, and abide with you. His for now and forevermore. What do I want you to do with today's message? Go do business. Go do kingdom business. In Jesus' name. Somebody, when they ask how you're doing, may your response be, I dismiss you in the Lord. Hey, if you're looking for prayer, our prayer team is going to be up here. Give the Lord a hand praise. If you need prayer, our prayer team, come on up. Prayer team, they're here to pray with you. If you're a new visitor, I'd love to meet with you. Please make sure you see me either on the side, or I'd love to just connect with you. God bless you. Give somebody a hug. Have a great day. Let's go do some business!
You have been listening to Pastor Shayna Hurd, Senior Pastor of Rohi Christian Church, a multi-ethnic, economically diverse, spirit-led congregation located in San Jose, California. For audio teaching downloads by Pastor Shayna, service times and directions, or to become a Rohi partner, go to www.rohichurch.org or write to Rohi Christian Church, 474 Piercy Road, San Jose, California, 95138.